Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Cavani! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Kubu making another glimpse of goal here!
Hello and welcome to the Streets Won't Forget podcast. I'm your host, Dan Mountney, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-hosts. Today, they'll be playing Holmes and Watson. It's Ben Woolley and Harry Martinez.
Oh, I'm absolutely Holmes. You're my sidekick, mate.
Yeah, I don't mind being Watson. I'm not as annoying.
Well, that's true.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Yeah, personally I am, but in terms of the context, I'm not.
One thing you are good at is giving us an Andy Cas of the Week. We've got a jam-packed episode this week, so let's get right into it. Harry, who is Andy Cas of the Week this week?
You say I'm good at it. This week, I'm putting forward about five.
Right, so helpful.
Firstly, as we all know on this podcast, we all saw the achievements of Matt Ritchie this week.
Oh, we did, yes.
Got his license to drive lorries. So automatically we assumed that was going to be Andy Cas of the Week winner. That was a front runner.
That was a nailed on 100%.
It couldn't be beaten, could it?
Could not
be beaten. I'll save that one for last, actually, because then obviously later this week we saw what happened with Alexander Sorloth. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
I have
see
not
this.
Seen this.
So he was given permission by Villarreal to miss the match and witness the birth of his daughter.
Okay, right? Understandable so far.
He chose not to do that.
Okay, what?
Instead, right. He went and scored a last-minute winner against Almeria in the 92nd minute, right? Thought, wow, great. Until he realised that Villarreal are mid-table, they're not fighting for anything, and Almeria are going down. So, what was the point?
I really hope he's named his kid Almeria.
So, that was another one. I thought, do you know what? Missing the birth of your daughter for a match that doesn't matter, pretty Andy Cas.
It's him and Neymar in a race to the bottom in the worst father competition so far.
Yeah. It's up there, isn't it?
I could see Andy Cas missing the birth of his childhood.
You think he's missing the birth of Wolf 9, mate?
Wolf 9, mate. Yeah, Wolf 9 Carol. Ain't missing that.
Forgot about Wolf 9.
So then later on this week, I saw another absolute, pinnacle of Andy Cas moments where In a charity match, El Hadj Diouf decided to nutmeg none other than the French president Emmanuel Macron and then proceed to get two-footed by him. So I'm not sure who wins Andy Cas of the Week or whether both of them.
Hard to for El Hadj Diouf, to be honest.
Yeah, I think both of them could have it there. Then, obviously, I think this might win it. Former Port Vale player Ryan Burge, who decided to fly a plane over the ground of Port Vale on Saturday, with a banner mocking their relegation from League One. He went out and got a pilot's license just so he could do it.
That's the winner. That is sensational. 100%.
That's the winner.
Andy Cas of the Year. I'm calling it now.
That might be the most petty thing I've ever heard.
Like, on top of it, Stoke fans are the ones that paid for him to do the piloting license.
I love it.
Which is just brilliant. But as Woolley and I discovered years ago, back in the olden days of that rivalry, whoever won got the rights to the women. And obviously, they got the rights to the women
okay,
in the city.
Okay, so obviously, it wasn't like a formal piece of paper saying you own them all.
Well, we don't know.
But it was, they'd go there and, you know, get a bit frisky after the game, after a few beers.
So, obviously, they haven't played in probably 10, 15 years because of the league disparity. So, currently, Port Vale still own the rights to the women in Stoke.
Which is probably shocking news for all of the women in Stoke.
Yeah.
Having seen some of the women in Stoke, I'd give them to Stoke if I was
Port Vale. Waiting for someone to say it. Are we agreeing that Ryan Burge is the winner of the Andy Cas of the Week?
Well, I do have a secret late addition.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he knows what it's going to be.
Oh, no.
Because our very own Daniel made a little bet earlier this year with his better half regarding the performance of one hometown hero, Carlton Morris. What was the bet now? Was it 10 league goals?
So the bet originally started as, quite foolishly, if Carlton Morris gets three goals, I'll give you a tenner.
Did he score a hat trick within 2 weeks?
No. I think it took him about 7 or 8 games. So then I said, if he gets 10, I'll give you 50 quid. And then somewhere along the line, I can't remember entirely how, but me drinking a can of tuna brine was added to the bet. So I guess now I have to drink a can of tuna brine and pay Rebecca £50. So
guess who scored his 10th league goal of the season this weekend?
I think the 50 quid's worse there.
Oh, no, I'd rather give up 50 quid.
No, I'd rather the tuna, Brian. I'm clinging on to my money at the moment because, much like Daniel, my bets are not very good.
See, the annoying thing is, and I've got myself and the football gods to blame here, I should have specified it had to be non-penalty goals because I think he's got about 3 goals from open play.
Yeah, I think he has.
They all count, mate.
If Adebayo hadn't have got injured for the rest of the season, there's no way he would have got 10. Adebayo was on fire before he got injured and Carlton not getting the team.
I'm surprised Corley Woodrow doesn't get in the team ahead of him as well. He was scoring a lot of goals.
Well, cheers, Carlton Morris, you dick.
Well, you see, you can have no complaints, mate, because you had not one but two opportunities to learn your lesson and just shut up and not make it worse.
Yeah. At least the hometown hero's done you proud.
Well, it's not my hometown hero. He's Rebecca's hometown
hero now, mate.
Since we're talking about Rebecca, it has reminded me. She is currently writing a poem for the podcast about her new footballing obsession, Xabi Alonso. And she's making progress. But I just wanted to give you one of the lines that she's currently written. And it goes, "It all began in 81 when Xabi Alonso came out as mum."
I remember you telling me this in the pub the other week. Sensational.
I'm hoping we'll have the full poem on the podcast soon. But yeah,
we'll do a dramatic reading.
For Halloween, we can get her in a Xabi Alonso full kit.
Oh, we'll get her one of those like latex face masks.
Yeah, well, the latex one.
Okay, latex is the wrong word. But
latex. Get her in a gimp suit, right.
Dan's taking that home after.
Yeah, where do you think we're getting it from, mate?
Register roll by day, Dan's bed by night.
Oh God,
bloody hell!
Right, lying either way.
We've got quite a lot to get through this week. So shall we move on to the main part of the episode?
I think we should.
Sure.
Well, we're back with another true crime episode. Oh. And much like our previous case, which was the theft of the FA Cup, go back and listen to that if you haven't already. It is another theft. This time, it involves one of England's greatest footballers, Colombian authorities, and some rather expensive jewellery. This is the case of Bobby Moore and the Bogota bracelet.
See, I really thought this was going to be Xabi Alonso stealing your missus' heart, mate.
I really thought this was going to be the theft of Bobby Moore for a second. I think I would have noticed this one.
Give him
back.
Who's
nicked Bobby Moore? Well, the question is, and this is for you boys to answer at the end as our judges, was it theft, was it extortion, or was it a prank gone horribly wrong? Now, before we go into this, do either of you know anything about this debacle?
I do not.
I know Bogota and I know Bobby Moore, that's about it. And I know what a bracelet is.
Well, yes, mate, but that's kind of a given.
It's a good start.
Strong
do you know
start.
What football is? That might be helpful as context.
No, clearly not, judging by this podcast.
Yeah, as he's proved week in, week out, absolutely not.
Definitely not.
Well, as we know, England win the 1966 World Cup, and Bobby Moore is a colossus. He captains the Three Lions to glory. And 4 years later, he's ready to lead them again in defence of their title at the 1970 World Cup in Mexico. Now, with the tournament just weeks away, England head to Colombia for a warm-up game, and this is where our story truly begins. The date is May 18th, 1970, and the squad have just arrived in Bogota, the capital of Colombia. At around 4 p.m, they go to the hotel, and I'm going to butcher this, Twickenham.
Do you mean Twickenham?
No. I think if it was Twickenham, Bobby Moore might not have been in as big a trouble as he ended up in. So it's a 5-star hotel, and it's often frequented by celebrities from across the world. Now, in the lobby of the hotel, there is the Fuego Verde Jewelers, which is a very upmarket jewelers. I think it was one of 4 that were in the lobby. I don't think I've ever seen a hotel with a jewelers in the lobby. So
yeah, no, that's quite something.
Yeah. So while Moore and his teammates are waiting for their rooms to be prepared, he, Bobby Charlton, and an unnamed third player go inside the jewelers to have a look at a ring that Charlton wants to buy for his wife. Charlton balks at the price, Thanks the young shop assistant, Clara Padilla, which is a name you're going to need to remember.
Oh God, where's my notebook?
And then the players leave. Now, Padilla is the only other person in the shop apart from the three players. They return to the lobby, but all of a sudden, the shop assistant comes out of the shop and begins to panic, looking under chairs in the lobby. Then, the shop owner, Danilo Rojas, another name you need to remember, he turns up. And although he only speaks Spanish, the England players quickly establish that a £650, 18-carat bracelet studded with 12 diamonds and 12 emeralds is missing. And then Padilla points the finger at Bobby Moore. Moore and Charlton are questioned by police, but the situation eventually calms down and the matter seems to be resolved. So much so that the notoriously pesky English press, who were present at the whole situation, didn't even report the incident back to their news desks in London.
Right.
What are we thinking so far?
I mean, I'm going to be honest, a bit of it smacks of, I know that these guys are famous as shit. They must be loaded.
I think you may have cracked the case already, but there's plenty more to go. So, days later, England are preparing to play Colombia in a friendly with a training session at the military cadet school, which is quite the training ground.
Right.
All of a sudden, the police, Rojas, and Padilla arrive. The bracelet is still missing, and they want to press charges against Bobby Moore. The game is played a day later, and England win 4-0. But the following morning, Moore is summoned to give another statement. As part of it, and this is something akin to O.J. Simpson, and if the glove doesn't fit, you have to acquit. The police compare the size of Moore's hand to the gap where he would have had to have reached in to take the bracelet.
Superb.
And of course, his hand is too big for the gap, so he's free to go.
Superb. This is better than Birmingham police already.
I say, they've been talking to the Birmingham police force.
This was the next thing I had written down. Much like the previous case, shoddy police work is taking place.
What has he used? His tongue?
Possibly.
Oh, they didn't check his other hand, mate. It's actually smaller.
Take my strong hand.
Oh. They said, well, Bobby, we're going to need more evidence than that, son.
Get your toes in there, Bobby.
We're going to need more evidence.
Yeah, we
really. Love that.
England then head to Ecuador for another friendly before heading to Mexico for the World Cup itself. Unfortunately for Bobby Moore, they aren't going straight there. They have a 6-hour stop-off in, you guessed it, Bogota, where the case into him has now been reopened. Now introducing another important character, a man by the name of Alvaro Suarez, who is a street vendor, and he all of a sudden appears, claiming to be a witness, telling police that he'd seen Moore sneak the bracelet into his tracksuit pocket. And in a scathing interview, shop owner Rojas tells the press, and this is a... just such a bizarre quote. He might be the best footballer in the world, the most attractive, distinguished, and most highly regarded of anyone, a friend of Her British Majesty even, but that doesn't mean he's not a kleptomaniac.
At the end of the day, it's always going to be an Englishman in your tracksuit, really, isn't it?
Bobby Moore had actually had 4 pints of Stella before this.
Yeah,
I really thought you were going to say that. They were playing a friendly in Mexico and the Colombian police followed them to Mexico.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. So this case fucking stinks, you know.
Yeah, it gets worse, don't worry. So, upon arriving back in Bogota, Moore is questioned again. And when the England squad head to board the plane to Mexico, their captain is nowhere to be found. He's been thrown in a jail cell at an infamous Department of Security Services jail. Now, this is in a rough part of town as well. Not looking good for Bobby Moore. Now, this place is so lawless that the president of the Colombian FA, Alfonso Senior Cuedo, is so concerned for Moore's life that he convinces authorities to place him under house arrest at his own home.
Right.
This is the captain of England who is in this jail cell. This is not good. They have little to no evidence as well. Like, there's nothing here.
How much is this bracelet worth?
I have actually already looked this up because I was curious. You said 650 quid.
Yeah.
In those days.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worth £10,000 in today's money. So, Jesus admittedly.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, it's not cheap, but also.
That's a week's wages.
Yeah, this is like a. medium price handbag.
Saying that, what wages is he on back then? Like, are they the same as now? Is it that inflated?
Not a chance.
He's not on like 400k a week, but I reckon he makes enough money where he could just buy this.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's earning more than 10 grand in a month, isn't he?
Well, you say that. I don't know the price of the ring that Bobby Charlton said was too expensive, but I'd think that Man United's leading star would be on more money than Bobby Moore at West Ham. So,
yeah, true.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This is absolutely smacking of, well, we know this bloke's famous. They beat us. We don't like him. Let's just put him in prison. Yeah, we can find a witness.
We'll get to your thoughts at the end. We're getting there slowly.
He could just be a thieving bastard.
He could just be a robbing bastard.
I will talk to no thieving bastard.
And you can take all your bracelets and your rings from Bogota and throw them in the bin.
I love the way after that Bride Club episode, it's just become part of our day-to-day language. Yeah. Excellent. While under house arrest, Moore had quite the few days. One night, while celebrating the birthday of one of the armed guards, he helps drink the house dry, which is a very English thing to do.
Like how he helps. Like, yeah. They were already on it.
Bobby, lad, have a bit of this wine. Come on, we've got to get it done.
Good lad.
He's gone on holiday. He's gotten unbelievably pissed and he's had a tussle with the coppers. This is just a British lad's holiday.
And potentially got a 650 quid bracelet in his pocket.
Wait, wait.
It sounds like a good holiday to me. So, the next morning, I remember he's under house arrest. He gets up at first light, sneaks out for a run, then makes himself a plate of ham and eggs, eats it, and goes back to bed, all before the guards wake up.
Superb. You can tell the Englishman. Tell the Englishman.
Yeah, get down there. Come on. Get your towel on the sun loungers.
Yeah, I had a light tipple last night.
So, the Colombian press are also quite interestingly backing Bobby Moore at this point. They describe him in newspaper reports as the English gentleman, which is quite the title. Maybe. Shop assistant Padilla is sticking to her story, though. She says nobody, and I repeat nobody, other than him, could have been the author of the Jules disappearance. I'm sure of it.
Who's the unnamed player?
We'll get to this.
Okay.
There's more to come. Then, a breakthrough. Moore, wearing the same clothes he wore on the day of the supposed theft, is taken to the shop to reenact the incident. Padilla claims the bracelet was put into his trouser pocket, but Moore suddenly lifts his arms in the air. There are no pockets on the trousers.
All right, this case is a fucking sham.
Your argument is pocketless.
Bro, the one person who says he did it is relying on a piece of evidence that is fundamentally not true. Throw this thing out right now.
So his hand doesn't fit into the glass or his pockets, which aren't there.
Yeah, there are no pockets. Also, every single... They found one guy on the street who was like, yeah, I definitely saw it. Okay, buddy, you weren't in the shop. If he's
under house arrest, he's just sewing up the lines on his pockets. So it just looks like
he appears in the press the next day, waving it on his wrist.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the street vendor who came forward as a witness. It's revealed that shop owner Danilo Rojas paid him to cooperate in the case.
That's cheeky. You saw that coming a mile off, though. Yeah. You don't come forward 3 days later, do you? Like,
so, 4 days before England play their opening World Cup game against Romania, Judge Pedro Dorado concluded there was insufficient evidence to justify keeping Moore detained. He was free to leave Colombia. The typically stoic Moore travelled to Mexico and shone at the tournament. Despite England being knocked out by the great Brazil side of 1970, Moore put on a masterclass against Pelé and co.
With a bracelet on his wrist.
Can you imagine he rocks up at a game against Romania with the bracelet on? Oh, God. Then, in August 1970, Colombia's chief of police admitted Moore had probably fallen foul, as Ben predicted, of extortion. But there is another theory.
Oh, here we go.
Before his death in 1993, Moore admitted to friends that perhaps one of the younger lads with the squad did something foolish, a prank of unfortunate circumstances. Maybe he was the one that stole the bracelet. Now, I think this is part of the reason why that unnamed third player has remained unnamed. Was he the culprit in the crime?
It was Rebecca Vardy.
It was Paul Scholes again.
Oh, yeah, no, we 100%.
He's got the FA Cup and the jewellery.
Go and put him in a Bogota prison cell for the rest of his days. Not a toe in sight.
There could be a situation here where he's turned to Bobby Charlton and gone, look, if we just say there's a third unnamed youngster and we nick it and just put it all on someone that wasn't there.
They've split the cost between them and gone, oh yeah, it was one of the reserve players.
Exactly. Like,
well, I think the unnamed third player was confirmed by Padilla, the shop assistant. I don't think that was something that was made up by Bobby Moore and Bobby Charlton.
Well, people can be very clearly bought off in this case.
And I'm also not trusting Padilla after the whole scenario of this entire case.
Yeah, how are we going to trust someone's facial recognition when they can't see if someone has pockets or not?
It was that bloke, that English bloke there, which one of the 25.
Was Bobby more known for keeping Pelé in his pocket?
Yeah, Pelé and one.
There's no room
the
with
bracelet
half the Brazil
the
team. Yeah. Yeah.
The bracelet and Pelé.
So, what are we? Are we leaning towards extortion here, judges, or can we put any weight in the theory of this unnamed third player being responsible?
So, this bracelet did exist, though.
The bracelet did exist. Yes.
Surely, even if Bobby Moore wasn't the one who stole it, are they trying to claim an insurance claim?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there were basically theories that it was either an insurance claim or because of the kind of, I don't know what the exact phrase would be, but we'll call it the diamond trade in Colombia, even though I think it was emeralds. The diamond trade was obviously quite dodgy, as is a fair amount of the trade in Colombia in the 1970s and 80s. and he was basically needed to pay somebody off. And rather than raising the money through legitimate business, he decided to try and extort a quite wealthy Englishman.
Yeah. So he's kind of gone, right, let's try and extort him. If that doesn't work, we've got an insurance claim. And if that doesn't work, we can sell it on the black market.
Part of it feels like maybe one of the people in the squad did actually steal this thing.
Mm.
But they probably realised no one's going to give a shit if it's Joe Bloggs, zero caps, not a household name. Let's just try and pin it on one of the big names and see if we can get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Because they go after him a lot.
Yeah, and they reopen the case at least twice.
And I'm sorry, like, you lose all credibility when you're like, yeah, we paid someone to be involved. Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, but in Colombia, this is part and practice, surely.
I agree. Doesn't make it okay.
Yeah, this was still quite understandably a pretty lawless time in Colombia. And I can imagine, as well as paying off a street vendor to be a supposed witness, the shop owner probably has dished out some cash to the police as well.
Can you imagine if that happens nowadays? Social media would fucking hound them.
Oh, it depends who it is in the squad, though.
Can you imagine a Millwall chance of Bobby Moore, like, from then on? He's a thieving bastard. Like, you just hear it from every terrace.
You'd think as well, Bobby Moore's definitely kind of the most recognisable face in the England squad as well.
I think that's why they've done it. Maybe she didn't know who they were. Or whoever's involved didn't know who it were. And they went, oh, I remember seeing that guy. It must have been him.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's stolen by someone else previously in the day. And she just knows that he was in there.
Because as we know, Harry, from our background, education as opposed to criminal, eyewitness testimony is the least reliable form of identification.
The fact you felt you needed to specify education, not criminal, is it's quite telling of your character, I think.
He was known in uni for two things. One was doing well at exams. The other one was nicking bracelets off the nearest jewellers.
I'm basically the Bobby Moore of the university game, mate.
you say that Bobby Moore was the only recognisable face, but fuck me. If you saw Bobby Charlton with that shit comb over, you'd recognise him in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
See,
the thing, there's the two of them.
I think random Colombian person in 1970s probably going, all these fucking pasty, white, balding English blokes look the same.
Yeah. Again, with our education, Willie, racial bias in terms of
identification. It could have been any of the English squad for that matter.
It could very well be.
Or any travelling Englishman.
The Psychology Won't Forget podcast.
Yet another spin-off.
From now on, if I'm going to Colombia, I'm wearing a tracksuit and getting a shitty comb over.
Yeah, Sigmund Freud, Bobby Moore. Won't forget, mate. That's all I'm saying.
Have you had any luck scouring El Salvador for Mágico González yet?
I'm trying to find flights, mate. Trying to find flights.
I do the one way, to be honest.
Open return. In a casket.
I was going to say, we'll only need luggage for you on the way back.
Yeah, in a casket.
I feel like this, the outcome of this case, or our believed outcome, is certainly more cut and dry than the theft of the FA Cup, right?
It's the FA Cup one. There's a lot of dogshit police work, which feels like the most responsible thing. And I guess we can never really know, it's too far away. This one is just bollocks.
It feels more like corruption than anything.
Yeah, when the chief of police is like, oh yeah, it's probably not true. Then, yeah, fuck it. Someone's lying.
You know, and he said that in August 1970, so like a month or two after the whole thing happened. Why would you not come to that conclusion then?
Yeah. Also, how the fuck did they reopen this case?
With the FA Cup, we know that the FA Cup was stolen. There's no actual proof that this bracelet was stolen. So at the beginning, there might not even be a case.
Wait, what were the Aston Villa team doing at this time? That's the link.
Having a pint of water.
They were 12 years away from losing another trophy.
Oh, that's very true.
Some say they took Bobby Moore back to Birmingham to see if he could cut a hole in the roof and climb through and steal the FA Cup.
That's the outcome I'm going for, is that it was the Aston Villa squad who stole the bracelet in order to win a trophy.
I think, like Wally said, I think the only crime here is probably Bobby Moore.
Bobby Charlton's come over is a crime.
It's to throw Bobby Moore in prison.
All right, but I didn't know you worked for the Colombian police.
Yeah, mate, you should have seen when the check landed this morning. I mean, when I was overcome with the desire to see justice carried out.
Oh, Bobby, can you get your hand in that gap to steal the bracelet? Oh, wait, we don't give a fuck. In you go.
Oh, Bobby, your hand doesn't fit in the gap. Does it fit in your wallet, mate? Pay up.
The other thing I've learned from this case is being under house arrest sounds like a great idea.
It's just a house party, isn't it?
It sounds like a great yeah. idea.
It doesn't seem like much of a punishment, especially when you can sneak out and go for a run anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think that's like the budget version of, you know, those like heat map trackers they have? They put the ankle tag on your leg and then they just see where it goes, and that's how they track your running for the game.
You're wearing one of those sports bras around your own house just in case you sneak out.
Get your vest off, you're coming on.
I gotta go in the pool, take the vest off.
Have we got any cases we'd like to look at next? Obviously, we can't go too dark with it, but
I think there's a potential for the money laundering scheme of Alvaro Morata.
There's never been a criminal case brought against him, but 100%.
Surely. And Romelu Lukaku, for that matter.
Well, I reckon there could be one or two in the works. We'll have to see.
Oh, he's got something up his sleeve already.
Let him cook.
I fancy us to have a look at least three of the 115 charges that Man City are under.
Can our investigation be into how the fuck they thought Eloquent Mangala was worth that much money?
That was part of that was one of the charges.
Yeah. Check him under the Alvaro Morata case. We'll look at them all.
Well, safe to say we've come to the conclusion Bobby Moore was part of a pretty piss poor attempt at extortion.
I really hope it's actually we've uncovered a secret jewelry theft into like money laundering ring in the England football team in the 1970s. I mean, I doubt it could
easily have been one of the youth player that was in there.
I know what we do. Go and watch the Back Home music video and see if Bobby Moore's wearing the bracelet in the video.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. We changed the course of English football history. Bobby Moore would go from being this hailed figure, this absolute legend, to a thief.
Have a look at any of the uncapped players from the 1970 World Cup and see if they suddenly came into a lot of money.
What if we uncover a further scandal where the bracelet gets passed down all the music videos? So we watch Ozzy's on his way to Wembley and Chaz and Dave have got the bracelet on. Oh, what if? You know, like John Barnes is wearing it in World in Motion, or Badil and Skinner in Three Lives.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild reference, this. You know, like the President's Book in National Treasure 2?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think the bracelet gets given to every single England captain? It's like that's their heirloom passed down.
Yeah.
They each add like their own little inscription on one of the beads.
You know, at one point, David Beckham would have looked pretty good with it. And then it went to Scott Parker and everyone thought, what the fuck is this?
Harry Kane's just covered it in spit at this point.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that was another case brilliantly solved by Scotland Yard's two finest detectives. Well done, boys. I think Paul Scholes might have got away with one, though, again, to be honest.
See, I think we have actually found the answer, and that means we are 100% more effective than Birmingham police in the 1890s.
And Colombian police in the 1970s. Far more effective.
That's already a difficult task, I imagine.
Right, boys. You've been asking for a new quiz for a while.
We have, and I'm quite excited for this, having seen the preview.
Yes, I've cooked a little something up for you, and it's one you can kind of play along with at home. So we're doing football bingo. We've got a 16 place grid essentially, and what we're going to do, I'm going to read out a list of players, and you have to basically match the corresponding players with the slots on the grid. Now, some of the players are options for multiple points on the grid. Some are options for only one, and then there are some in there that are not options for anything on the list. So you have to work out who's going where, basically.
I'm doing this on paint. This is going to be dog shit.
Now, there is a set list of players, so once the list is done, if neither of you have got bingo and got the full grid, we're not doing a line or whatever like they do at Buddy Gala Bingo, not that nonsense.
Okay.
We'll do the full grid. If you haven't completed the full grid, the person with the most ticked off is going to be the winner, okay?
Do you know, the only thing I can think of here is when Papa Cisse refused to play for Newcastle because they were sponsored by Wonga and were spotted in a bingo hall betting.
So for anyone who wants to play along at home, I'll quickly run you through the grid. So it is a player who's won the World Cup, a player who's played for Borussia Dortmund, a player who's been teammates with Neymar, a player who's played for Porto, a player who's played for West Brom, a player who's been managed by Carlo Ancelotti, a player who's played for Fiorentina, a player who's been managed by Jurgen Klopp, a player who's been a teammate with Alisson, an Arsenal player, a Portsmouth player, a UEFA Cup / Europa League winner, a Monaco player, a Copa Libertadores winner, a Sevilla player, and someone who's been teammates with Nicolas Anelka.
See, until Anelka, this could very realistically have just been Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting.
Copa Libertadores, really?
Yeah, but he's been everywhere.
So you're going to read out a player, and it could, if him,
yeah, basically, just tick like it off your grid.
Things.
You can only use one player for one grid. It can't be multiple.
That's what I mean. So if it applies to three, we have to choose which one it's for.
Yes. And okay. Obviously, keep it quiet. You don't want the other giving it away to the other person if they don't know.
Yeah, Wooly, I'm going smack bang in the middle.
I'll give you a little bit of time between each player to think. But if you're ready for the next one, both of you, please let me know.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Your first player came up in the quiz last week, Alberto Moreno.
Interesting.
Automatically, I'm doubting whether that's a right answer or not. Oh, dear.
Are we ready for the next one?
Yes.
Yes.
Your next player is Bournemouth goalkeeper Neto.
Okay.
Fairly certain that's right.
Ooh.
That's got to be right.
Next up, Nani.
Fucking hell.
Remember, some of them aren't all going to be answers.
Sorry, I'm being dumb as shit. What was the bottom row trophy?
The Copa Libertadores.
Oh, it's the Copa Libertadores, yeah.
I thought I'd throw a tricky one in there for you. Although, basically, if I read out South American, there's probably a chance they've won it, so maybe not so tricky. Next up, a favourite of this podcast, and whose signed shirt will be given away to the winner of the Fantasy Football League, Kevin Prince-Boateng. I'm really excited to dub some shit bingo hall music over this. Two fat the ladies.
Mega, the mega bingo advert on repeating it.
Right, next up, if you're ready.
Yes.
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Oh, piss.
Sure. That's cold. Fucking hell.
Why the fuck am I writing this with the mouse? Where's the text? God, it looks like a child has done my grid so far.
Oh, dear.
Next up, a man you might have forgotten, Diego Lugano.
Oh, let's put that there, actually.
I'm very confidently putting him for one of these, and it's not going to be true.
Give me a second, because I'm switching someone around.
Oh, I will allow switching, but once it's locked in, that's it. At the end, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Right, I'm ready.
Your next player, Fernandinho.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe there. Oh. I don't.
West Brom is such an out of place team on this list.
I thought I'd throw in a few curveballs. Next up, Hristo Stoichkov.
It's definitely World Cup, Harry.
You know, I've got a Stoichkov top. I've no idea why.
Baller, to be fair.
Mm.
Next up, the invisible wall, Gilberto Silva.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Next, another favourite of this podcast, Andreas D'Alessandro.
Fucking hell. Oh, now there.
He's whacked it in the obvious one. Your next player, Ganso.
Oh, I've already used that spot.
Are either of you getting remotely close to bingo yet?
Is it all of them we need for bingo?
Yes.
Then no. I think this one might be wrong.
I've got five left.
Okay.
Six.
I have one, two, three, four, five. I've got seven left. No, I've got eight left. Fuck, I forgot West Brom.
Oh, I actually have got seven left.
Okay. Next up, everyone loves his dog. It's Peter Lovenkranz.
I'm just throwing this out. I've got so many for one team, possibly.
Oh my good God. Everyone loves his dog.
Am I wrong?
The better goal scorer, mate.
Everyone does love his dog. Where on earth would Peter Lovenkranz fit into this?
Well, he might not. Not There's every no player fits on the grid. Not every player fits on the grid.
Thank you.
I don't imagine he somehow won the World Cup.
His dog might have.
His dog won Crufts.
Beat Claire Bolden to the gold.
You mean Anthony Gordon?
Yeah, sorry.
Next up, everyone's favourite pisshead, Paul Gascoigne.
Fucking hell. Where's Gazza?
Oh, yes.
Don't think he played with Alisson.
Managed by Jürgen Klopp.
Jürgen Klopp. Let me just have a think about him for a second.
World Cup winner, mate, 100%.
I don't think there's anywhere I can put him. Now, I don't think he won the Copa Libertadores, to be fair.
Somehow, I doubt it.
Right. Your next player is Alex, the Fenerbahce Alex.
The Fenerbahce Alex. Why?
Oh, ooh. The one who scored like a billion fucking goals.
Yes, not the centre back, Alex.
No.
Your next player is Andrei Shevchenko.
Wooly, how many have you had just pass you by now?
Oh, mate, I'm writing them in the fucking the margin, being like, where are you
going?
Oh,
that's a great shout.
I'll give you a bit of time at the end to fill in any gaps.
Why have I not done that? Answer.
Next up, George Weah.
George Weah.
Your next player, another unbelievable striker, Luis Suarez.
Okay.
Your next player, he was a Hall of Fame nominee, Raja Nainggolan.
Oh, nice. How many you got left, Wooly?
I've got four.
I've got four as well.
Oh, it's tight. It's close.
I'm not confident on some of these, though, you know.
Next up, Davor Suka.
Fucking hell. Oh. Surely you can go there. Fuck it.
Your next player, David Silva.
Oh, that's risky. That is risky.
Who the fuck has played for West Brom?
Is that who you're waiting for?
I need West Brom and Neymar.
I need Dortmund and Porto.
Oh, no, sorry. I need one other guy as well.
Okay. Your next player. There's only 10 left now. Gary Lineker.
Well, that's no fucking use to
Fuck me.
That's no fucking use to me at all.
Well, if you've established that's no use, we'll go on to the next one. Your next player. Paul Lambert.
Oh,
wait. Surely. He's English and shit. It must be this one.
Yeah, I've got him for the other one.
Oh, have you?
Your next player, Lassana Diarra.
Oh, has he? Hold on a second. Let me have a think now.
Oh, is it the right time?
No, I don't. I don't think he has. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it.
Your next player, Anderson.
No, that's wrong.
Oh, maybe.
Right, I need one.
Get ready to shout bingo when you get it. Your next player, Sergio Ramos.
I love this list of people, man.
It's funny because I know for a fact there's no way.
You've got West Brom left, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your next player, Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott?
The Theo Walcott millions. Your next player, Lucio.
Cool.
Three more to go.
I am missing two.
Next up, Marco Reus.
See what's really annoying? Okay, I know what I'm going to do.
Your penultimate player, Sergio Aguero.
Okay.
No. No.
No.
Why didn't I write the fucking names down?
Mate, I've got the names down. It's not helping.
Your final player, Borja Valero.
Yet again, not needed, I don't think.
No.
Right. I'm going to put a minute on the timer.
I need the names again.
Would you like me to run you through the names again?
Oh, actually. Fuck off. I've got it. Bingo.
Okay.
He's got it as well.
Have you got bingo as well, Ben?
I think I've got it.
Right. Harry, since you said bingo first, I will let you run through.
Okay. Okay.
Can we go row by row, left to right, please?
Yes, certainly. So, World Cup, I've got David Silva.
Yep.
Dortmund, I've got Paul Lambert.
Yep.
Ooh.
Neymar, I've got Luis Suarez.
Yep.
Anderson for Porto.
Yep.
I've got Borja Valero for West Brom.
Correct.
I've got Shevchenko under Ancelotti.
Yes.
I've got Neto for Fiorentina.
Correct.
I've got Alberto Moreno for Jurgen Klopp.
Correct.
Raja Nainggolan for Alisson.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Roma.
Davosuka for Arsenal.
Correct.
Kevin Prince-Boateng for Portsmouth.
Yep.
Fernandinho for Europa or UEFA Cup.
Yes.
Jurgen Klinsmann for Monaco.
Correct.
Diego Lugano for Copa Libertadores.
Correct.
Ganso for Sevilla.
Correct.
And Gilberto Silva with Anelka.
Before I reveal whether that's correct or not,
ooh.
Ben, would you like to run me through yours, please?
I would, but now I think I've got a couple of mistakes in mind.
Okay.
So I have Gilberto Silva for the World Cup.
Correct.
I have Kevin Prince-Boateng for Dortmund.
Correct.
I have Fernandinho with Neymar.
Correct.
I have Neto at Porto.
Incorrect.
No, my apologies. I have him at Fiorentina. So I don't, in fact, have bingo.
Okay.
Porto player.
Okay. So you're missing one or two?
One.
Okay, keep going.
I've got Borja Valero for West Brom.
Correct.
I have Ramos for Ancelotti.
Correct.
I have Neto for Fiorentina. Neto was on my list twice.
Correct.
I have Reus for Klopp.
Correct.
I have Moreno for Alisson.
Ooh, correct.
I have Sukor for Arsenal.
Correct.
I have D'Alessandro for Portsmouth.
Correct.
This is the one I'm not sure on. I have Nani for Europa League.
Nani?
Yeah.
Was a pointless answer. He did not fit on the grid anywhere. So you have two wrong.
I do.
Harry.
To finish it, I think I have three of the same.
Okay. Yeah. Harry, you said Gilberto Silva for Nicholas Anelka.
Yeah.
Where do you believe they played together?
At Arsenal?
Incorrect. But as you only got one wrong, you are our winner.
Ah, well done, mate. Thank you.
Some of the more random ones you could have had. Actually, I'll give you the pointless ones first. The pointless ones were Nani, Haristo Stoichkov, Peter Lovenkranz, as you suspected, Paul Gascoigne, and Gary Lineker. The more random connections you could have had were Diego Lugano for Anelka and West Brom.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure you said Fernandinho won the UEFA Cup, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Shakhtar.
Yeah. You could have had Gilberto Silva for the Copa Libertadores.
Mad.
You could have had Andreas D'Alessandro and Anderson as teammates with Alisson. They played together at Internationale in 2015.
Like fuck anyone would pull that
out.
Oh,
sensational.
Ganso won the Copa Libertadores. You could have had him down.
Oh, yeah.
Alex was also a Copa Libertadores winner and a teammate of Nicolas Anelka at Fenerbahce. Davor Suka you could have had for Sevilla. Lassana Diarra you could have had, obviously, for Arsenal, Portsmouth, or a teammate of Nicolas Anelka with France.
To be fair, everyone played with
Anelka. I was going
to
say him, and I thought, no, I don't, he wouldn't have been at Portsmouth. And I thought, he's French.
Yeah. And then Sergio Aguero you could have had for UEFA Cup. He won it with Atletico Madrid.
Oh, yes.
And then Borja Valero for either West Brom or Fiorentina.
Nice.
I quite like the Paul Lambert at Dortmund shout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of a rogue one in there. But
really
yeah.
Yellow kit.
Yeah. Well, Harry, well done. Good victory. Mate. Hope you enjoyed.
I'm let down by the Anelka connection. Of all the things on that grid to be let down by.
Yeah, he's the one with the most options.
Literally.
Well, that was another episode of the Streets Won't Forget podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you did enjoy, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and a follow. It really helps us out. You can also follow us on social media. Our Twitter is at @SWF_pod. And our Instagram and TikTok is Streets Won't Forget Podcast. And if you've got anything you want to tell us, maybe a true crime case we could cover, we'd love to hear your suggestions. Please send them in to us. Our Gmail is thestreetswontforgetpodcast@gmail.com. Boys, thank you very much for joining me.
It is a pleasure, as always.
You have a good week, mate.
I will, mate. You too. We'll see you next week.
Don't go nicking any bracelets, you wrong'un.
1, 2, 3, 4. Gira can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gira! And still Baptista, yes! It's Kabay! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
Done just that, he scored! Jorginho's done it!
Yakubu making another glimpse of goal here! That is terrific!